First reading today, something very clear comes out of the first reading today. To warn people if they are on a path of destruction is mercy and love. To warn people if they are on a path of destruction is mercy and love. God, in the past, anointed prophets for this purpose of being a mouthpiece for him, to speak to them, to warn them about where they're going, what they're doing. It's wrong. You're on a path to destruction. You need to change course. If you do not change course, this will lead to your destruction. God does not want that for you. Please listen to him. God warns the prophet, if I warn them through you and you do not warn them, if you do not speak, I will hold you accountable. They will die because of their sin, because that was their destination they were headed to anyway. But I will hold you accountable. Because the role of the prophet was to manifest his mercy and his love, to warn them. He says, if you warn them and they ignore you, they will still die, but you will be free of the guilt of that because you did what I asked you to do. News break. You are all anointed with the Holy Spirit. You all share in Jesus' prophetic, kingly, and priestly ministry. You are all anointed with that same Holy Spirit for the work of prophetic work. It is mercy and love to warn someone that they are on a path to their destruction. And that's very contrary to our current situation of the world. You be you, I'll be me, just don't get involved, don't this, that. It's a funny thing that happened this morning. They were getting ready, the musicians were putting stuff together, and all of a sudden, wah, 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 on the sound system, I'm like, oh, run over, kill the kill switch. Our neighbors, and they're setting up, they're doing an activity, and they're setting up a wireless mic. That's the last time that happened, and the same thing happened. I was like, I know what's going on. Run out there, and they're all getting ready to do their thing, and I'm like, hey, neighbor, how's it going? Can you change the frequency that you're on because you're bleeding over? Sure, got it, check. I'm like, all right, thanks, appreciate it. All right. There was a point to that. Jeez. It was a wedding last night. I stayed up for the reception. There was a lot of dancing and things, so I'm a little worn out. It was something about the connection of the bleeding over and things like that. They're connected, right? Okay. If someone made the connection clearly more than I just did, then you can remind me at the end of Mass. I'd appreciate it. Mercy. It is mercy and compassion to warn people of destruction. Oh, the UBU, yeah, the frequency is not, yeah, it doesn't work that way. You can have your frequency, we have ours, and it's all good? No. We're a part of something bigger. And the world does not honor that. When you confront people in sin, when you're confronting it, when you're saying, look, they don't honor that. UBU, let me alone. It is mercy. It is compassion. It is love of neighbor. The gospel text today, this is the important part, because we can warn people about the path of destruction, but we have to do it in love. See, our love, the love that we proclaim that's a part of warning them, can't be undermined by the manner with which we do it. Right? I love you. You know, like, we cannot do it in the contrary way of loving them. And Jesus spells out something so concrete for us to do today. My brothers and sisters, rejoice. Because when Jesus speaks concretely, it is an oddity. Because normally it's these parables and these big things that we have to, like, what is he saying? You know, how we have to understand it and get into it. He's so concrete today. Do this. And if that doesn't work, do this. I mean, it's so beautifully concrete. But as I go through that today, I want you to hear the love. Hear the love and the compassion that is behind what he teaches us to do. Okay, so your brother sins against you, All right, so this is a clear thing. This is not like I had a reaction because of my woundedness, like I have perceived injustice on the part of my brother. He's saying, your brother clearly did something wrong to you. And, you know, we're going to be inclusive here. This includes women as well, right? It's just not men, brothers and brothers. This is sisters as well. It was kind of a joke, but all right. You understand that. Your brother has done something wrong to you. Clear injustice to you. You, the one who has got the injustice done to you, you go to that person. You don't tell mom, and then mom goes to your brother and straightens it out. Moms, you don't see this happen, and you go, I'm going to take care of this. The one who received the injustice, the one who is hurt, is the one that goes. And it's one-on-one. And before you go to them, you don't post it on Facebook. You don't process it with 16 of your friends who now think your brother's a wretch because blah, 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 he did this and he did that. And you're all of these things. And then when you go to him, and I'm telling you, 99% of the time when I have had the courage to do this, to actually do what Jesus says, you know what the conversation is like? I say, when you do this, it hurts me this way. I want you to understand that this is that I'm hurt by this action and this thing. 99% of the time, it's, I'm sorry. That really was not my intention to hurt you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. 99% of the time, we missed each other. We were speaking one thing and the other and this and that, and he doesn't know, and it just, I'm sorry, that was not my intention. Please forgive me. Now, so what's beautiful is if it's just been one-on-one, then it's done. It's done. If you've talked to 16 people about it and how angry you are, and then you go to him and he says that, then you're like, okay, hold on, I'll be right back. And you're running out and you're reposting on Facebook and you're deleting that and you say, my brother is a wonderful person. He's great, blah, 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 blah. You have to fix all of the bull that you kind of threw out there. And you had to fix all of that. And if you don't fix that, it's an injustice that you've done to your brother. Mercy, compassion, one-on-one, lowest situation, involving only those that need to be involved in addressing it. And if there is a conversion of heart, then this is wonderful. This is great. And it's done. It's done. If that doesn't work, step two, you bring one other or two others. Because witnesses, people to give testimony and evidence. And what is this about? This is about having someone else come into the situation and to be able to perceive the situation. It's not, I'm bringing two others to help strong arm my brother. I've already convinced them. I've told them my side of everything. We're going to go beat it out of him together. We're going to intimidate him by our numbers. No, you're bringing in someone who can listen to both sides, who can speak into it, and who can help to try and bring resolution to it. You know, I'm telling you, sometimes as a priest, I get pulled into situations of marriage counseling. I am not a marriage counselor. You get what you pay for. You don't pay for me, and that's what you get. But this situation of two people who have a disagreement, who seem to be talking past each other, I know how to do that. I knew how to sit there and to listen to both people and say, it looks like you're saying this and you're saying this, which actually are the same thing, but you're missing each other. Or you're saying this and you're saying that, but together we get the whole truth, which is this. Oh. You see, the beauty of this situation that Jesus is inviting us into is that we're pursuing truth. When two people, there's a disagreement or something contrary to someone else, we are wanting truth to be a part of this. I talk to couples and, you know, the arguments and things like that. Who won, right? Terrible thing to ask. Because if someone won, both of you lost. Right? The whole idea is that you're on the same team. The whole idea is that you're on the same team and truth is what you're hoping for. The disagreement is a disagreement about the truth of the situation. If you can bring truth to bear, if truth stands outside of the disagreement of the argument, then there is the means and the possibility for that to be reconciled. And both of you, when truth is come to both be able to win. Because you both come to truth. Both of you lose a little bit, right? So few times do you come into a situation where you got all the truth and that person's an idiot, right? That's not often the way it is. My perception of it is this, and together with Christ, seeking the truth, we can come to reconciliation. And so to invite one arbiter to come into that situation, to establish the facts with you, to help you to see it, to help you to draw you out of that situation. Because if the argument is just about winning and making your opinion greater than everyone else's, my brothers and sisters, we got to break ourselves of this. Because in those relationships in which you are arguing, all you are doing is creating this thing where the better arguer wins. And all people involved lose. Because if the better arguer is wrong, and we ain't moving towards truth at all. If we talk about Jesus being the truth, who he is, you are the Christ, the Son of God, Peter is revealed in that truth. Now Jesus enters into our relationships with each other, that we are made true, and in joining ourselves and desiring the truth, we come into union with each other, reconciliation with each other. We come into the communion that we are a part of. To love our neighbor is to both pursue Jesus and to find this beautiful bond of love between us that is in him. If he doesn't listen to the two of you, the three of you, then bring it to the church, it says. Now the church, what they mean by that, this is clearly there's no church yet. Jesus is speaking to his apostles. He's talking about the assembly, the gathering. And what would happen is like, hey, we got a situation happening. Call the assembly. And so all of the people gathering together in the courtyard by the gate, right? The assembly. Bring it to the assembly. And if your brother still doesn't listen to the assembly, then treat him as a tax collector or a Gentile. Now, Jesus sat and ate with tax collectors and Gentiles, right? So what is he saying? He's saying, that person's going to be no longer a part of the assembly because they are obstinate. They are in their path of destruction. They've basically excommunicated themselves, and so treat them as one that has excommunicated themselves. This is the passage that we're discussing today. It's the biblical grounds for excommunication and a process of excommunication and individual warnings. That's why it's really interesting, like when a bishop individually warns a politician, like out of kindness and out of love, where you are going as a Catholic politician and what you're standing for, you are running the risk of going down a road that you cannot go. I'm warning it for you, your personal soul, right? And then that politician or someone leaks it to the public. See what the bishops are doing. See what this, it immediately contrary to what that initial intention was. Go to that person individually. They don't make it public. Go to the person individually. But at a certain point, if a person remains in obstinance, remains in their sin, for the sake of the community, they have to say, look, and this is the thing, the church doesn't excommunicate someone. It says, you, by your choosing, your choices, what you've decided to do, have excommunicated yourself. We're just bringing it to the public eye so that others don't follow along with you. Because where you're going, we can't follow, and we don't want to follow. So this is the grounds for all of that. The beauty in all of this, my brothers and sisters, is keep it small and seek reconciliation. Seek truth. And do it in this way so that the consequences of sin don't ripple into everything and then it just turns out to be a misunderstanding. That it actually can be reconciled and healed. And you do this in love. love for your neighbor, love for your brother, love for your sister, that you want to reconcile with them. You desire this to be a part of it. Jesus is a part of this. We go to the second part of the gospel and he says, if two of you can agree on one thing to pray for, it will be done. So after Mass, I'm going to be looking for someone to agree with me in me getting a new truck. And we're going to pray on that and it's going to happen, right? That's what this means, right? No, that's not what it means. What it means is if two of us can come to an agreement about something, it means that Jesus is a part of it. For two of us to come to an agreement about something, Jesus must be a part of this. Truth must be a part of this, and we come to an agreement in that truth. And if we come to an agreement in truth with Jesus for something to be prayed for, you better believe our Heavenly Father is going to answer that prayer. But it is a process outside of ourself, and Jesus is a part of it. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them. It is that they have come together in truth that I will answer to those prayers. This is the need of our parish. This is the need of our church. Can you agree? Jesus agrees. We agree. We bring it together. We pray. God is answering that prayer. So there's a lot of beautiful aspects in this today. Warning someone on a path of destruction is mercy. And we are called to love. I don't know of anybody that loves confronting people. I mean, if you do, you know, distill yourself and turn yourself into a drink, and I'll drink it every time I have to confront somebody because I hate doing it. But if I've done it in love and in compassion and in what Jesus says, 99% of the time, it's resolved right then and there. It's done. It's done. And it ends. And all that is revealed is love and a desire to be in reconciliation, to be in communion with others. There's a very last thing in this, a very important thing that to understand. In all of this self-reflection on things and confronting people and stuff, we need to be in relationship with Jesus as well. Because often, the gospel clearly sets it out that the brother did something wrong, right? So it's the brother's fault. That's the situation Jesus lays out. A lot of times when those situations happen and I'm hurt, it's either two things. It's either the brother's fault or it's me. It's my woundedness. It's my brokenness. It's my hang-up, and my brother just seems to be pushing my button. Whether it's intentional or not, he's pushing my button. So in all of this, my brothers and sisters, it's very important that you bring this into your relationship with Jesus as well in order for that purification to happen inside. He sets up a situation, something done to you. He lays it out, okay? But sometimes we need to bring Jesus into it for us to kind of boil through it as well. Because ultimately it can be, yeah, my brother just pushed a button. Jesus, there's a wound here deep within me. I need to bring this to you. This is me. This isn't him. And where we go from here, that's a whole nother question, okay? But it's a part of this, okay? God wants us to be reconciled to each other. He desires us to be in communion with each other. Much more than our blood or our last name. It's Jesus that binds us as one. Our striving for truth. In this we can be drawn together in one. So much more than a sports team can make us one. Truth in Jesus. Reconciliation. Mercy. Have that always before you, and we will be drawn together, and we will experience the fullness the Trinity in our midst, in each other. Amen.